On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
So happy to have you with us for another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, will be joined momentarily by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. How about this? 2 weeks from today, Tom, down in Bourbonnais, practice number one.
I know, no pun intended, but it is, the wick is being lit on the NFL. There's a lot of, talk about how, when training camps are getting started, when rookies are reporting, what to expect out of some of the big rookies this year. Who is the early consideration for division leaders all around the league? And then, you know, it captures the attention of so many people during this downtime that they look forward to the start of NFL training camps.
Jim, what's it like when you start a training camp as a veteran and there's a new head coach?
Well, I think you know you're being evaluated, every single play. I mean, that's a new coaching staff, a new GM, that really, not that they're going to scrap everything you've done in the past. They've evaluated in your previous stops in your NFL career, but they certainly, there's a sense of urgency to what should I say, make a good first impression, because a lot of players will be antsy. They're anxious. They know that the situation when you have a new coach, his job is to come in there and make any of the necessary decisions he needs to make in order to get the team on a winning track. So, and how you work with your teammates, how you get along with front office members, those type of things, they all matter. They're watching everything, and the coach wants you to fit in with what his formula is and what he's had in his past history in order to have a lot of success. And with John Fox, as we've mentioned, he's had tremendous success in Carolina. He's taken a team to a Super Bowl there, and he's just coming off of winning 4 AFC West championships and has taken a team to the Super Bowl out in Denver. So I would think he has the criteria that he knows that he's looking for in order to create a winning football team.
You know what, Jim, going into training camp is so interesting, with a new head coach or not, because there's so many thoughts of where you are. Are you in the first or second year of your career? Are you a third or fourth year starter? Or are you a seventh or eighth year player that maybe has 1 foot out the door? And then you have to think, is anybody drafted behind me that is going to be seriously considered to take over my position? And then am I being, thought of, maybe as a backup? Can I be a backup? Can I contribute on special teams? There are so many thoughts going into training camp about your own position that, you have to go in there and impress the head coach. You have to impress the assistant coaches. You have to be enthusiastic about your approach, because you are being evaluated by everything you do, the way you look and the way you react onto the field.
No, there's no doubt. And, I think for everything you said is definitely true, Tom. But I also think this, if you're a player, whether you're 1 foot out the door or a new player trying to impress, at the end of the day, you cannot get caught up in numbers, because there are so many things that are out of your control. If a player, if you get injured, or other players at your position get injured, that's going to affect the numbers. And so at the end of the day, I mean, granted, you're getting evaluated, you got to focus on and do what you got to do, which is go in there, perform at the highest level possible. And for anybody playing any position, that should want to be at the highest level to be a starter and win the position, win the job. There may be other positions where the coach as well, we're thinking about making a change here and go with a younger player. Well, that's your job as the older player, is to hold the guy off. I mean, there are going to always be young draft picks coming in. You've got to prove that you're still better than him, is what you have to do. So there's a lot going on. It is a different dynamic. It's a different type of line of work that's not for everybody, because the pressures and things that are involved, there's just some people that can't take it. And every year, I always bring up, it happened to us in Platteville. We always had a couple guys sneak off in the night, and they never returned. And that happens with every team around the NFL, because the NFL is not for everybody. It's a pressure cooker, and you're going to find out who the real men are.
You know, one of, I think, the additives of pressure this year, you're going to go into a training camp that's going to have about 17 practices with the new coaching staff. You better be impressive every day, and you better approach the field with a lot of enthusiasm because, you know, what do you want? Do you want 6 weeks off before a 14-day training camp, or do you want to work right up in the training camp and go to a five-week training camp like you did in the Platteville days? It is it's an incredibly different dynamic because if five-week training camp, they had a lot of time to evaluate you. If there was an injury in front of you, then you were going to get extra reps. If you come off of a six-week downtime and you don't invest a little bit of your personal time, both mentally and physically, in the game of football, your decision could be made a lot quicker.
Guys, the good news is, and we saw a couple of the Bears post this on social media last week, the offense got together. Not everybody, but a lot of different offensive players went down to Nashville, down in Tennessee, to Vanderbilt to work out with Jay Cutler, including Martellus Bennett, who's a guy who missed most of the offseason because he was unhappy with his contractual situation. So it's good to see the guys putting in the kind of time, Tom, that you talked about.
Yeah, I think as important as it is for the offensive line to be on the same page to work together, your quarterback, receivers, and back better be on the same page also. And there's a lot of things that can change during a quarterback's cadence according to the coverages. So again, like communication and offensive line, it's essential to have Jay have that same relationship with everybody who's going to touch the football.
And to piggyback on something that Jim was saying, you know, I remember one of my first training camps covering the Bears, it was in Platteville. Jim was around for this. Remember Larry Wiggum? He was a special teams specialist, if you will.
He was a big defensive back.
Yeah, he was hard hitter, right? So I think the first play of camp, Dwayne Bates, the former Northwestern receiver who's on the Bears.
I remember it.
Smash collision. Remember that, Jim?
I sure do. set the tone.
Didn't it?
It set the tone for that training camp, I'm telling you. It was awesome.
And did you guys, I believe that was the season you guys made the playoffs, right, in 2001?
Absolutely. And as Tom said, there were no days off. You know, back in the day, like Tom was saying, when you had actual two-a-days and you were in 4 weeks legitimate out at Platteville or whatever your team went away from, you were smacking each other every day. Yeah, you're going to have some dog days where everybody was just physically dead and you stunk. That's not true of today's NFL. If these guys can't practice every other day in full pads and bring a full, all of their energy and all of their concentration, there's something wrong. There's something physically and mentally wrong with that because just the mentality and how they train is so different. I mean, so bring your A game every single time you strap up the cleats to go out to practice because it's not like the old days when guys were just physically worn down and mentally worn down that truly tested somebody's physical and mental toughness on the field. Some teams went 3 a days, believe it or not, now that I think about it, and it's just different. And I don't think that's too much to ask. It's not too much to ask of a head coach, the offense or defensive coordinator, your fellow teammates, to just go out to practice for an hour and a half and say, you know, we don't got it so bad. We don't even have a second practice today. Let's bring it. Let's get something done, and let's get better as a football team. And if you as a teammate see another person dogging it who shouldn't be dogging it, that's where leadership steps in and says, hey, bro, quit loafing. It's time for you to pick it up a notch because that's what you have to do in the modern-day NFL. These guys don't get the reps and the amount of practice time that either Tom Thayer or even still a young retired player like myself. It's totally different nowadays, and these guys should be coming every single practice with their A game.
And that's why the Bears are in an advantageous position from the standpoint that you have trusted quality leaders. On the offensive side of the ball, you have guys like Jermon Bushrod, who has a Super Bowl ring. When he talks, you listen. Kyle Long is now at a stage of his career, back-to-back Pro Bowl appearances, where he can be a little bit more vocal. On the defensive side, I think the acquisition of Antrell Roll is huge for just what Jim talked about. And then the real stars, if you will, the new coaching staff, a veteran coaching staff with a ton of success, whether it's John Fox as the head coach, Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator, Adam Gase as the offensive coordinator, even Ed Donatell as the defensive backs coach.
Well, I think that's going to be the unique thing about training camp, why it's going to be so competitive. You have all these decision makers trying to make key and quality decisions with every rep they get a chance to see. And Matt Slauson was on with us last week, and he mentioned what a good leader Will Montgomery has an opportunity to be at center because he's familiar with Coach Fox and Adam Gase. He's familiar with what's wanted out of Coach Maggs, the offensive line coach. And it's nice to have a guy with veteran experience that can kind of filter information through the rooms of, you know, this is how the this is what the coach expects from us, and so let's get it done, and let's get it done properly.
Joining us now on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, is one of the veterans on the defensive side of the ball, and that would be safety Ryan Mundy, who joins us now. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Ryan, we were talking about how 2 weeks from today, would you believe it, 2 weeks from today is your first practice down in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Kind of hard to believe, but the summer's going by fast. I always say pretty much once July hits, my summer's pretty much over because everything that happens in July is a blur. But I'm excited. Can't wait to get back to Bourbonnais, get around my teammates again, get around our coaches, and get back to work.
You know, Ryan, and when I was at OTAs, I watched a lot of the defensive players really paying attention to the coaching points that were being made because they're really unfamiliar with everything that's going on. So I'm going to go to week one of the NFL season, and Aaron Rodgers is across the line of scrimmage, and then the Chicago Bear crowd gets so loud you guys can't hear each other. Is there a communication device or ability for you guys to make sure that all the information is distributed properly, and how long does that take for a defense that's putting in a new front and new terminology?
I think the communication amongst players is a little bit different than really understanding your role and responsibility within the defense. First and foremost, you have to understand what you need to do in each and every defensive call. But once you get that down, it's just a matter of us creating a hand signal or looking to the sideline. We may have a coach signal in, and just an efficient way for us to minimize communication, but a way to be efficient and get everybody on the same page. And honestly, we had a lot of trouble with that last year. So hopefully we could clean that up and come out that first week and get a big win versus a great opponent.
I think that's just an awesome point you just made right there, Ryan. And, you know, take it from your standpoint, to be perfect in everything you do. Like you said, it's hard for guys to step up and be leaders when they're making their own mistakes, you know, and they get a little embarrassed to get up in the room and challenge their teammates. And for you to just say, hey, to know every single one of your assignments, to have the perfect play, to have the perfect series, to play the perfect game, you know, how can you challenge other guys and certainly challenge yourself to say, you know what, I know this defense like the back of my hand, and I can now start to push other players to expect them to be perfect as well?
Well, it's a work in progress. We have to just continually support one another, coach one another.
All right, apparently we've lost Ryan Mundy on the cell phone there, so we'll try and get a call back from Ryan as quickly as possible because he was making some terrific points.
Right,
there,
you know, Jim, you can speak to it better than I can because I was thinking about the defense when they're standing out there on the field and the crowd does create noise and you don't have the constant verbal commands that you can make throughout training camp in your own practice field. Now, do you look at that, and do you look at confusion as you're looking at a defense, or as a quarterback, are you only paying attention to what exactly you said in the huddle?
For me, if I need to still audible or signal or do whatever, I'm trying to keep tabs on everything because pre-snap read is much different than the post-snap read. They could be two entirely different things. So I think you're always on guard. You're always paying attention because the last thing you want to do is miss a blitz or misread a coverage and make a poor decision. So I think you're always on your toes. And probably 9 times out of 10, you have your indicators which suggest what the post-snap read will be. But 9 times out of 10, that could change significantly in terms of your pre-snap, post-snap, and how things end up.
Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you on Bears All Access, rejoined now by Bears safety Ryan Mundy. When we spoke to you on this program a couple of months ago, one of the things you mentioned is how the culture within Halas Hall has changed because of the new coaching staff. But on the field, Ryan, How are you guys being coached differently on the defensive side of the ball?
I think there's a little more, I don't want to say freedom, but there's an ability to let a player go out and play. And what I mean by that is last year, you know, everything was pretty much regimented. You had to do it this way. If you didn't do it that way, it wasn't the right way, and you were going to get penalized for it or get a negative mark for it. But in this defense, I feel like the coaches are playing to the player's strength. They understand that everybody's different and everybody has different abilities. But within those abilities, you still need to get a job done. So whatever you need to do to get that job done, you have the freedom and the right to get that job done. And that's something that's a player that I embrace.
Hey, Ryan, you know, this is really a limited time training camp. And then you have 6 weeks off before. What is it valuable to you to make sure that you stay up with the terminology, or do you have video opportunities to look at things you've gone through in OTAs? And what are you doing during the 6 weeks to stay mentally into the game?
Well, everyone had an opportunity to take their iPad home. All of our install from the spring sessions are on the iPad. All of the videos on the iPad, and you know, that's a great opportunity, especially for the younger guys, to keep up on the mental part of the game. As for me, I'm pretty much familiar and comfortable with the terminology in defense. I picked it up really fast in the spring, and we'll be starting from square one when we head back to Bourbonnais in 2 weeks. So that'll pretty much give us a even playing field and allow everybody to have the same starting point. And it'll be a refresher almost because this will be the third time that we started from square one from a base defensive installation. So we'll be able to move rather quickly once we get back to Bourbonnais.
Well, Ryan, from your standpoint, whether it's tapping Vic Fangio's brain or your other defensive coach's brains, I don't know, did you reach out to guys like Dante Whitner, guys that have had experience at the safety spot in Vic Fangio's defense? Or you're a veteran guy, I know that, and certainly coverage is coverage and all those things, but did you get some input from other players that have been in the system at the defensive back positions?
The only guy that I really spoke to, and it was just a really brief conversation, was Dante Whitner. Actually seen him out in Los Angeles, like right when the new staff was hired, and we had a brief conversation about it. And also I spoke with Mike Adams about our new coach, John Fox, and also Sam Garns, the safety coach. But at the end of the day, all you got to do is look at the tape and turn the tape on and see how their players are performing. I think that's the biggest sign of how well a coach is doing and how well a coach communicates and gets his guys ready to roll. And San Fran, as you know, has some really good play from their defense and their defensive backs the last several years. So hopefully, you know, Coach Fangio, Coach Donatel, Coach Fox, Coach Garns, all those guys, they could bring some of that mojo over here to us, and we could get off to a fast start in September.
Just remember, he was 4-0, Vic Fangio, 4-0 in his career in San Francisco as defensive coordinator against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That's a big deal for you guys heading into the season.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. We actually seen some clips in the springtime of their game when they played in Green Bay. I think it was like 3 years ago, something like that. And it was a really good game, but I think that defense gives a lot of offenses trouble, particularly with the way that they play, the way that the coverage is structured, and with the amount of pressure that's put in your face. The ball has to come out, and it's a great opportunity for defenses to make plays or the guys up front to get sacks.
And that's how you start the season right away against the Packers. We're visiting with Bears safety Ryan Mundy here, our final few moments on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Ryan, last year there was much made heading into the start of training camp because of a conditioning test. What's different with John Fox's camp that you've been able to figure out since the schedule's been sent to you guys?
When you say there's been much made about the conditioning test, like people were kind of upset about it, or
yeah, it was a big because it's something they had not seen in Bourbonnais. Some players were nervous about it.
Yeah, I mean that does kind of make guys a little bit uneasy. And then, you know, you have guys training using these 5 weeks to just train for a conditioning test as opposed to actually, you know, getting in good football conditioning and getting ready to roll. You know, I personally, but, you know, I can understand some of the gripes about the big guys having to run those 300s. But it does lead to quite a bit of injuries. Can put some, not in addition to physical training, some mental strain, but I think it's good for us to kind of plan for the off season and our training camp. I'm not sure if guys have actually looked at it, but it is available to us, and it gives us an opportunity to know exactly what we're doing each and every day, and there will be no surprises. So that's a great opportunity for everyone to go out there and be their best every day.
Good stuff, Ryan. We appreciate the time, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Ryan. Day.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Ryan Mundy, the Bears safety. What'd you learn listening to him there?
You know what intrigues me most about Ryan, I want to ask him, but we got more into football, is he's always continuously educating himself. And I don't think it should never be lost in not asking him about it, because I think it's so important for the young kids to hear about his continuous education. He's a true pro. He says he's in shape. He knows this system. I'm more impressed with the fact that he continues his education process.
Guys, Brett Favre's last game came against the Bears a few years back. Bears will see him again on Thanksgiving night. But would you believe there's another Bears-Favre connection? We'll explain next. Tom Thayer is here. So is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears, the 85 Bears Rock On, as Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael, and Otis Wilson play the hits in Hampton's band, the Chicago Six. Plus, Spice Adams crashes photo day at Hallis Hall. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. And Jim Miller is here, Zach Zaidman with you, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. And did you catch, Jim, did you catch Tom chuckling when I talked about Dan Hampton's band?
Yeah, well, Tom's already informed me. He said those guys can rock it out. They want to make you an honorary member, Zach, I heard. Is that true?
Jim, I recently talked to Hamp about it and asked him some questions, because I know they played at the Taste of Chicago, and Hamp was telling me that he takes songs and he'll rewrite the words.
All I know is, guys, this weekend Taylor Swift is taking over Soldier Field. Maybe Hamp joins her with his band, and you get this collaboration that you would never expect.
You know, you'd be impressed by the talent of those guys. You know, like I said, Dan's got 10 fingers that go 11 different ways, and he can still pluck the guitar.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, so start lining them up. 312-644-6767. We go rapid fire with your phone calls. Anything in the world of football is fair game for Tom Thayer. At the end of the segment, Judge Jim Miller picks a winner. That winner, the best caller of the segment, gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Again, 312-644-6767. But I wanted to ask Jim this, as a former Bear and a former quarterback. You know, Peter King, the very respected NFL writer on his website, themmqb.com, brought this up earlier in the week, that the whole divorce with Brett Favre and the Packers, and the reason I'm bringing it up is this weekend at Lambeau Field, they're honoring Brett Favre, and then Thanksgiving night, they will retire his number before the Bears-Packers game, and it's going to be a big festival up there, which just adds to the unique rivalry between these two clubs. But I guess Peter King spoke to Brett Favre in 2008, right at the time that he was debating whether or not he should come back after initially retiring, guys. And one of the things that King brought up that was interesting, quote, in talking about Favre, he said he was thinking of asking for his release so he could play somewhere else, Chicago or Minnesota maybe. And then King goes on to write about the Packers general manager Ted Thompson. Quote, Thompson asked Favre for a list of teams he'd agreed to be traded to. Favre wouldn't give him one. If Favre couldn't go to Minnesota or Chicago, his preference was to force Thompson's hand and come back to play quarterback for the Packers. As we all know, Favre ended up playing for the Jets after he was traded to New York, and that team was successful prior to the thumb injury, I think, that Favre suffered. He ended up in Minnesota after that, led them to an NFC Championship game against the Saints. Could you imagine? This was before the Cutler trade, Tom. Could you imagine, Jim? Could you imagine Brett Favre on the Bears?
Well, I can say this. That guy is an unbelievable player. You know, it's so many times we thought we had that team beat, and then he gets the ball in the fourth quarter and just takes your heart out and guts your team for a last minute score. You know, and for Brett Favre, here's the thing about it, is Green Bay knew he could still play. They knew he could still play. He knew that his style of football, the perfect spot, was in the division, whether it's Minnesota or Chicago, which makes a ton of sense. And Green Bay couldn't do it. That's why they had to trade him to the AFC. And then Eric Mangini, who at that point is the head coach of the New York Jets, they revamped their whole offense and put in the Green Bay Packers stuff that Brett Favre did well. Brett Favre, that year till week 11, he was the number one rated quarterback in the National Football League, and then he tears his bicep tendon. They would have been to the playoffs that year, the Jets. That's how well he was playing. So he could still play. He knew it. And, you know, I give him all the credit in the world for trying to force their hand. Green Bay stalled him for a year by getting him, trading him to the Jets. Lo and behold, he ends up in Minnesota. Brad Childress is more than happy to bring on board Brett Favre.
Yeah, but, you know, the reality of the situation was there was no way they were going to let him go to Minnesota or Chicago right out of Green Bay, and that's one of the holy sins of the NFL when they steal a guy within a team from your division that could help make your team that much better. And it was, you know, some verbiage there that Brett is going to request a trade to Chicago or Minnesota because he knows what the answer is going to be, 100% no. You see where he ended up, and the story was really – the Packers told the story by bringing him, you know, putting him to the Jets.
And then the reason that a year later he ended up going to Minnesota and not the Bears had already made the trade for Jay Cutler. It was the 2009 season, that offseason before the year began, they made that big trade.
And you look at the age of the two quarterbacks, that was the way to go at that time. You had to invest in a youthful, athletic, strong-arm, intelligent quarterback that came under out of a Mike Shanahan system, who is a really well-respected head coach.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, it's your opportunity to ask the football questions of our football expert, Tom Thayer, and the best caller of the segment will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. It's time to play Ask Tom next. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by Power Plate, takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, also joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on the show. And Jim's playing a very important role in this segment. We call the segment Ask Tom, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jim is the judge. We go rapid fire with your phone calls at 312-644-6767. And here's the way it works. You ask your football questions. Anything in the world of the NFL is fair game for Tom Thayer. At the end of the segment, Jim says, this person's the best caller of the segment. That person wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So there's a lot of good stuff coming up here. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let's begin the festivities on the West Side. Richard, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, Tom. Quick question: is it possible that Vic moves Jeremiah Ratliff to defensive end and then starts either Will Sutton or Eagle Ferguson at the nose guard, or will he keep Rat there?
That's a great question, because Ratliff does have some experience on the nose, and he's very unique. He's a long arm guy, wide body. He can go to a second move really quickly, and it keeps offensive linemen in one place. But he does have the talent, the length, and the intelligence to move out to the end or even over one of the guards when they change the front a little bit. So I do think Jeremiah Ratliff is one of the unique cogs in all this, that he can play anywhere up and down the line. And if a player does show a little bit better inside and some of the different instincts, I think he has the intelligence to play up and down the line of scrimmage. That's a good question. Sort of like Justin Smith in San Francisco with experience.
Man, there's so many questions in regards to the Bears defensive line. Back out to the phones we go. Josh in Crystal Lake. Josh, you are on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
All right, so my question is a relatively simple one. How would you say that Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey compared to the other wide receiver groups that you see in the NFL, like in Tampa Bay and Green Bay and Denver, especially considering that Kevin White is a slightly different receiver than what Marshall was?
That's a good question. I think there's more pressure on Alshon, not only to play better, but also to be a leader, become in a training camp fit, and play up to a size. Because, you know, Kevin White is going to be a really nice assistance to the receiver position, but he's got to take a long time to break in, to get understand coverages, to get used to the system he's going to play in. So when you have Alshon, you have Eddie Royal, and you have Martellus Bennett, let the bulk of the work go through those guys initially, and then – you know, allow Kevin White to develop into the player ultimately he's going to be. But in order to duplicate a Brandon Marshall, you got to come with a great work ethic and a lot of enthusiasm with, you know, the other wide receivers.
They used to say it takes time for receivers to develop, but boy, after watching Odell Beckham Jr. down in New York with the Giants, there's a lot of pressure on these young receivers to perform at a high level immediately. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Sheboygan, Conrad, ask Tom.
Hey, Conrad.
Hey there, Tom. My question is, which of the defensive position battles do you think will be the most interesting to follow as the Bears break camp in Bourbonnais?
Well, I'll give you David Bass, Cornelius Washington, and Jared Allen at the stand-up linebacker position after being in a stance the last couple years. But I want to see what happens to Jonathan Bostic and Shea McClellan. Can they play in a Vic Fangio system? Can they play well enough to get evaluated to play and be on the field in this system? So there's a couple of holdovers that I'm as interested to see. You know, Pernell McPhee, the free agent they signed out of Baltimore, you know, I hear a lot of good things about him, but a couple of the stayovers, Bostic and Shea and the defensive end linebacker guys are the guys I'm most interested to see make the change this year.
Bostic was not able to participate during the offseason workouts as he was recovering from a back injury. Back out to the phones. Kerry, Hoffman Estates, ask Tom.
Hey, Kerry.
Hey, Tom, how are you this evening?
Good, how are you?
See, my question is not Bear-specific, but general tackling technique in the NFL. You know, throughout Pop Warner and high school, you're always taught to wrap the ball carrier up. I don't see that a lot in the NFL. I see where they roadblock and things like that. At what point does that technique change and why?
Well, you know, I think it's something that, you know, the technique has to be positively reinforced every single day. And if you do become complacent, the running back's going to run through an attempted arm tackle. Or if you're not squared up properly, you're just not going to have a chance to hit the athletes that you're going to face in the NFL. And, you know, I do think it's something that when the position coaches are going through the individual period every single day in practice, they emphasize the importance of it every day. And you have to make sure that, you know, you have to have your head in the right position. You have to make sure you're targeting the right spot in the body now, because there's so many changes in what or how they want you to ultimately tackle a person, whether it's a wide receiver downfield or running back breaking through. There's kind of a safety aspect to it, and I think that's where you know you have to have the continuous teaching of techniques, because they're trying to, you know, make a safer way to tackle. And it's a continuous process of positive reinforcement every single day in practice, and it will never stop. That's the first period you go through every day you break up calisthenics, is individual, and you will work on it.
Our final few contestants here on Ask Tom, the winner gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Back out to the phones. Rick, Vernon Hills, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Rick.
Good evening, gentlemen. Quick question. We all know there's a world of difference between Mel Tucker and Vic Fangio, but can you identify or unpack the intangibles that make Fangio just superb over Tucker?
You know, I think it's his body of work. Of you look at the talent that he's been able to evaluate and then put on the field and watch them play at an extremely all-pro level. You know, when you go back and you get the best linebackers voted in the history of the NFL with Pat Swilling and Vaughn Johnson and Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills down in New Orleans years ago, and then he's able to transform that to Carolina and then bring it along to Denver or San Francisco, it is about the experience and the understanding of athletes and how they fit into his system and what is their job expectations. It's like talking about Shea McClellan and Jonathan Bostic. I see Jonathan Bostic having the speed and the willingness to hit from the linebacker position Is he willing to do it in the system? Does he understand the system well enough to be in the right position to make those types of tackles? And then will he allow Vic Fangio to cultivate his talent? That's where it comes from with Vic Fangio, is he has an extreme track record of success that comes with evaluating players first and then putting in them in a position to succeed. So for me, I've seen a great body of work by Vic Fangio.
We heard Ryan Mundy earlier in the show talking about how these guys on the defensive side of the ball have a little bit more freedom now because of the stuff that you talked about.
You know, but too, it goes back. You know, Jay Hilgenberg was a player for New Orleans when Vic Fangio was an assistant coach there. And you talk glowing remarks back then. And now it's carrying through 20 years later. You're hearing glowing remarks by the modern-day players, the guys that are lining up for him every day.
Our final contestant here on Ask Tom on Bears All Access. Final shot for that gift certificate to Sports Authority, Ed in Lake Villa. You are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Big Ed.
Hey, Tom. To dovetail on that last caller, you're looking. We keep on hearing about how this perceived lack of talent on the Bears, specifically on the defensive side. How much of that lack of talent is derived from the previous coaching regime's inability to develop anybody? And what is a realistic expectation of the talent level on this team with the new coaching?
I think, you know, it's got to be extremely competitive. You got to go out there and play a physical style of football, and you're going to be in an attack style of defense because that's what Vic Fangio brings along. And I think whenever you're being evaluated to make sure you're part of the future of this team, the evaluation is even more strict. So you can't have a passive approach to anything they're doing defensively. And I think that was one of the problems last year. I saw too much passive style of tackling and aggressive defensive style. And earlier in the show, we were talking about communication, and there was some miscommunication on the field last year. That cannot happen. If you have miscommunication in this defense, you will get scored upon, or you'll give up a big play. So I do think it's about making sure you drill the assignments into the heads of these players. Make sure each position coach has their room that understand their assignments and how they fit into the scheme. And I think you can make players. You can take a Kyle Fuller and take him to the next stage of his career, and he can have a huge career. And I think, you know, I'm hoping Jonathan Bostic is the guy that can have a big career with the skills he has. And you hope the defensive linemen like from Eddie Goldman to Will Sutton to Eagle Ferguson all develop into the next level of their career, because they will probably have more to change from their initial style of NFL play to this style that they will experience with the new regime.
We had some solid questions from start to finish there, which means Jim Miller's got a tough job here in picking a winner.
Good luck. They are great questions.
Yes, I do. And I didn't hear his name when he came out. Is it Daryl or Terrell who had the tackling question? I believe it was Daryl.
It was Carey.
Carey from Hoffman Estates. Yeah.
That's who it was. And you want to know, it's a great question. There's actually a video out right now, and it's from Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. And it's rugby-based, and it's starting to catch on, and a lot of people want to add it to youth football and display this video at the college ranks, too, if you just Google it online. But it's got a lot of code words in it. Like Tom talked about, keep your head up. They call it eyes through the thighs when you're tackling at the legs. There's another technique called a roll tackle that allows, rather than linebackers and running backs meeting head-on with either the crown of the helmet or face mask to face mask, they use the running back's inertia where they get their head across and they're able to roll the running back with their body. And it acts as really a cushion for both the running back and the linebacker. So it's about safer safety of tackling, and it gives good fundamentals. A lot of it is rugby-based, because when you think about rugby, they have to tackle without any pads on. And you want to let Pete Carroll and that defense know how to play. That's the number one defense in the National Football League the last 2 years. And they know how to tackle and can tackle with authority.
Jim, good stuff. Again, Carey Hoffman Estates, you are our winner. Thank you for playing Ask Tom here on Bears All Access. When we come back, we'll hit a couple of the big stories around the National Football League with both Tom and Jim. I'm Zach. Bears All Access rolls on. Tickets for the Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest are now on sale. Come to Soldier Field on August 8th for a fun-filled event highlighted by a team scrimmage. Find details and purchase tickets on the events page at ChicagoBears.com. One of the cool things about Bears All Access during the offseason is you can kind of focus a little bit more on some of the outside issues around the National Football League that don't just affect the Bears. And, you know, I go back, guys. Jim Miller's here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. I go back to a comment that John Fox, the new Bears head coach, said right at the end of minicamp before the Bears started their break. And he was asked, because, you know, the times that these coaches and front offices get nervous is during that break between the end of the offseason program and the beginning of training camp, where a player is free to do whatever he wants. And Fox said, I told the guys, I only want to read about you in the newspaper if you win the lottery. And what he meant was avoiding some of the craziness that we've seen. You know, JPP with the New York Giants, with the fireworks, he blows off his index finger. Former Bears defensive back C.J. Wilson in Tampa Bay, his career might be over now because he lost two fingers because of a fireworks accident.
Right, but, you know, that's exactly what we talked about with a guy like Ryan Monday. If you want a great example what to do with your downtime, that's the guy to talk to, because he continuously educates himself, and then he talks about the confidence in being physically prepared, mentally prepared to go to training camp. That's the attitude I want to have, and that's what these young guys should gravitate towards. If you go out there and expose yourself to these horrific experiences that can decide your fate in the National Football League, it is something that the coaches, front office personnel worry about most in this six window open.
Jim, do you think JPP can ever play football again?
I don't think he's going to be the same player. I think minimum it's going to be a year for him to learn new techniques. You know, he's going to have to probably even just lock out with one left arm when he's taking on the run. He ain't going to be able to grip. I've already talked to doctors and orthopedic surgeons that says his grip strength is going to reduce probably in the 40 to 50% range. He's going to be a different player. It's unfortunate. It's a bad decision. You know, I've been around a lot of coaches, some tremendous ones like Bill Belichick, I mean, Dick Duran, Dan Reeves. I'm telling you, the three things that are the biggest issues with players, and it's some of them are societal issues as well: guns, booze, and significant others or women. It, you know, those three things, you know, can get you in trouble faster than anything, because you're the emotions of dealing with a significant other or a girlfriend, or, you know, we've seen some things this offseason that happened with that. You think of the Greg Hardy situation, that involved a woman and guns. You know, that Donovan McNabb, granted a former player, just had a DUI, booze. Guns, booze, and women. Avoid them, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, speaking of which, you know, you bring up a good point with the Greg Hardy stuff, because his suspension was reduced from 10 games to 4. Tomorrow, Jim, you know the NFL better than most. What do you think we're going to hear about when in regards to Tom Brady from the commissioner?
Oh, I think Roger Goodell is going to just hold his own. You know, I think they'll keep it at 4 games, and they're going to test Tom Brady to take him to court. Tom Brady wants 0. He wants his name exonerated, and I don't blame him. Roger Goodell is going to take the tough stance, I believe, not reduce it at all, and I think it'll stay 4 games, and I think it'll end up in court is what I think.
Another hour in the books. Guys, our next Bears All Access will take place July 26th, right before the start of Bears training camp. There's going to be a lot to talk about on that special Sunday edition show. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, Ethan Shaw, producer on the other side of the partition, and our guy Padge at Hallis Hall, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Have a great weekend. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.